Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Prepare Radio with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good evening and welcome to Prepare Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host, and it is Tuesday night, so we are talking about getting healed. Last week we started one of the real fun subjects, talking about rejection. We've already established that there are two kinds of people on this earth, those that have been rejected and those that have been rejected more. And that will continue for all of us. Just because we become a Christian, and even though we may be exactly confident and hearing and perfectly in His, not only spiritually in His will, but whole and complete, spirit, soul, and body, we will still be rejected. So our goal on this earth will not involve avoiding rejection, but it will be learning how to go to God to be healed of that rejection, because you will be rejected. You will be misunderstood. People will hate you very often for absolutely no reason whatsoever, because it's not about you. But you are a joint heir with Christ, and everything He experienced, that's a possibility for you to experience as well. Just because you're experiencing difficulty in your life, very often what we have a tendency to do is try to figure out why. You're not going to be able to do that with any real accuracy. Our best mirror to look at, to look into and see what's going on, is by going to God and asking Him, what's going on? Lord, it seems like one thing after another is going wrong. People are just not getting what I'm trying to say, or what I'm working at isn't succeeding, it's taking too long, or it was for nothing, or it's been misunderstood, or all the plans and the visions that I thought You had given me are all just falling into nothing. And He says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. We are not going to be judging how we're doing based on how we're doing, how, if we're being rejected or not, or accepted, whether we're approved of or valued by others. Spiritually, your needs have all been met. In your soul, all your needs right now are met by your spirit. And in turn, all your needs in your body can be met by your soul receiving life from your spirit. But we resist that because we have established our own way of doing things. And because of that, we get wounded. Wherever you believe a lie, there's a wound there. That's why it's so important that we learn to differentiate between something that's true and truth Himself. Truth is a characteristic of God, just as eternal life is. And we're not going to be looking to understand with our own minds or perceive or comprehend what God is doing so we can better get a handle on what we are expected to do. We will be rejected in this life. This is not something we're going to avoid. Now, that doesn't mean we go out looking for it. Okay, it's like patience. Don't pray for it because everything will go wrong. Why? Because then you need to ask God for patience. Now, a lot of times we try to, you know, muster up our own patience. That's not God's idea. In your spirit, you are already have already assimilated that rejection. You knew it was coming. But what we are learning now is the process of learning to rule and reign in this world, which includes learning how to deal with rejection. We never want to go into a situation, even when we suspect that there might be rejection, being distracted by the possibility of rejection. It has such a strong effect on us. Having a good way of knowing you have rejection as a distraction in your life is if any way, shape, or form you perceive yourself as a victim. If you do, you have in some way, shape, or form believed that lie, that you are a victim of someone else, of your past, present, or future, your circumstances that you were born into or circumstances and choices that you made for yourself. You are not a victim. You are a joint heir, not a lesser heir, not a greater heir, but an equal heir with Jesus himself. Your father is his father. His inheritance is your inheritance. His rights and authority and responsibility are your rights, authority, and responsibility. There is no room for victimhood. If anybody ever had the right to be called a victim or to think of himself as a victim, it would have been Jesus Christ. And if at any time he had, that would have undone his spiritual identity. That would have been contrary to his very nature. Likewise, as a spirit being now, we are learning how to live as a being that is not afraid of being rejected. You are not a victim. You are an overcomer. Already, this is not something for the sweet by and by. You are an overcomer now. And there's nothing you can do about it. Even if you reject it, this is so important to God. He will not let you reject it indefinitely. It's like healing. He is going to heal you. And he is going to bring you into being an overcomer. We can go kicking and screaming, or we can go with our full understanding of what God's intent is. Maybe not how he's going to do it, but knowing that, embracing that, he is teaching us how to live as an overcomer. And we reject rejection. We reject victimization. You are not a victim. You are the head and not the tail. That is true right now, regardless of your circumstances and regardless of your past mistakes. So it's part of the process of learning to live according to who we are. We talked a little bit about our habit of rejecting ourselves, that we can often think that if we can reject ourselves, we can beat God to the punch, and hopefully he won't have to do it. I used to think that the best way to get along with God was just to not make any waves, because if you did, if you attracted his attention, he'd interfere in your life in some way to make you miserable. That his idea of a blessing and honoring us even when we did good was not something that was enjoyable. Over time, for all of us, it's over time. He didn't change. He didn't give me greater understanding. But he presented his truth through my spirit and changed my mind by revealing that lie and healing that wound. So over time, he reveals to us the lies by revealing the truth. Darkness and light cannot be in the same room. How do we get rid of the darkness? We turn on the light. We don't remove the darkness first. And then, okay, light will fill in the room. It is the flooding of the light into the room that drives out the darkness. So let's not look at the darkness, but how do we get the light into our lives? We make ourselves available to God and trust that He is doing the training. He is bringing us through, step by step, His program. So we also started to talk about our temperament in terms of rejection, that some are more sensitive to rejection than others. This is the way God made you. It may not be comfortable, but saying, God, you need to fix this, when it's not something that's broken, you're saying God didn't do it right. So part of the process is learning that the temperament God gave you is exactly the one He wants you to have. So your temperament may make you more vulnerable to feeling that rejection very strongly. Since some of us have aspects of our temperaments that are more valued by society, it also stands to reason that some of us have aspects of our temperament that are less valued by society. In other words, just by virtue of your character, your temperament, your soulical makeup, some do better in society and some do worse or not as well, and then there's a lot in the middle. That's the way God made you. That's the way God made all of us. So though society may say you're more valuable and you're less valuable, that's not God. And unless we can honestly, objectively evaluate our temperament and experience the freedom that comes from the experiencing God's freedom, that He does not value one person's temperament more or less than someone else's. If we don't experience that, not just understand it, but He makes it real to us. Until then, we are vulnerable to rejection at our deepest soulical level. It's like having a raw wound, being shot in the back by a shotgun, and just never treated. It will cripple us. It will damage our spine. It will get infected and make us vulnerable. We'll never want to turn our back on anyone. And the Lord says, let me heal you. Let me take care of that. And He does it just like that. He can do whatever He needs to do. Sometimes these things are a process. Sometimes it's just Him speaking His word, revealing Himself in us and to us. But being vulnerable in our temperament does not need to be healed. Since if that's an aspect of your temperament, God gave you that temperament purposefully. It's not broke. He's not going to fix it. We are instead to embrace and value the temperament God gave you as is. Our job, your job, is not to fix your temperament. It's not to value the strengths of your temperament and hide the weaknesses of your temperaments. It's to value your temperament in its totality with its strengths and weaknesses. Because valuing it, you're valuing the gift God gave you. As that happens in various degrees in our lives, as we begin to value and appreciate the soul that God gives each one of us, we learn to accept and be healed of the rejection that comes our way because of our temperament. Now, one thing to remember is the more we're sensitive in regards to rejection, and we can get this can become habitual, that everything we try, we fail at. Or if we've always been rejected by our parents, we're always going to be rejected by our employers or our friends. Or, excuse me, fill in the blank, be rejected by anybody in authority or anybody you try to get love from. However, it can be all in your head. There's times when people will say, you know, you're overreacting, or it's all in your head, and they're just trying to get to shut down the conversation. But they may be onto something. You may be overreacting, and it may be all in your head. What do you do about that? You take it to God. And you say, God, is this just a bad habit I've gotten into? Or, more likely, is this a wound that needs to be healed? Rejection can be just a matter of perception. When we are vulnerable to being wounded in any given area, there'll be circumstances or situations in which we just can't win, no matter what we say or do. But here's something to remember. A perceived wound or a perceived rejection is just as harmful as a real wound. A perceived wound, which is an injury that was not intended, or even one that we created on our own, if left unattended, will still fester and become infected just as painfully as an intentional, a specific, or a real wound. In other words, if you mishear somebody, if somebody says something and you misunderstand it and you think they were trying to hurt you, it hurts. Now, they didn't intend it, and you misunderstood, but it hurts you. Now, even if you find out later and get it cleared up, they didn't mean it, you still got hurt, and you still have that wound. Now, it's not their problem. It's not their problem that you misunderstood what they said, or that you are overly sensitive in that area. It's not them that needs to change. But the change you need to do is not build a stronger wall or avoid that person or that situation. It's to go to God and find out, Lord, what should I do in this situation? Is there a wound here that needs to be healed? And we'll go into exactly the steps of how to do that very specifically. And then what to do when he says yes and what to do when he says no. and what to do, and he doesn't say anything at all, or that we don't hear him saying anything. So that perceived wound, if left unattended, can still be just as painful in our lives as a wound that was purposeful. Somebody says or does something to you that they meant to do. They meant to hurt you. They meant to reject you. This is why one of God's goals is to bring our thoughts into submission to his mind within us and learn to see things from his perspective, that spirit perspective. Without his spiritual objectivity, we believe lies, whether from our own imagination or through our other enemies, through the world system, like success, our perceptions of success and performance-based acceptance, or even through demonic attack, and let alone our flesh, which is something we'll be going into great detail about. So, in all, what we're finding out is that what goes on in our soul often affects our body. Now, what goes on in your soul never interferes with your spirit, but it does affect what's going on in your body. God doesn't intend that we escape being wounded, but that we know how to go to him to get healed. Your soul was not created to be self-healing. It has no power to heal on its own. Because we don't often know how to do that yet, our soul will sort of eat itself. It will cannibalize its own resources. It'll suck the life out of whatever resources are closest to it, whatever food is available to your soul. It will eat. It will consume. And what is the closest natural resource to your soul? And these are good times to be referring to our chart, our three realms chart. Your natural physical body is the closest resource of, shall we say, nutrition for your wounded soul. It's not the only resource, but it's the closest, most easy to control for the soul. This is one of the reasons so many people, especially girls, who are going through image issues, self-esteem issues, when they need to get some kind of control in their lives, they resort to bulimia and eating, controlling their eating. That gives them a sense of control that they don't have in other areas of their lives. This is a real good example of how our soul uses the body to meet its needs for control. Just as your soul was never meant to function under the stress of trying to meet its own needs, your physical body was never able and never will be able to meet the needs of your soul. So it doesn't matter how hard you try in your soul, you will never get your soul needs met without God, without the Spirit meeting those needs. And once you are spiritual, all those needs are met. Over time, the soul's attempts to get life out of the body will do just that. Drain the life, the physical life, out of your body causing everything from fatigue and headaches and old age to life-endangering diseases and physically damaging habits and being irresponsible and being a poor steward of your physical body. Become vulnerable to disease as well as actually doing damage to your genetic makeup. So this is actually how genetic diseases get established in a family. There's that physical damage that's done in one family and passed on generation to generation to generation genetically. Now God can fix that right off the bat, just, you know, anytime he wants to. But this is one of the consequences we have to accept, and a good, hopefully a good motivator for each one of us to, shall we say, clean up our act and really embrace God's desire to heal us in our soul in whatever way he chooses. Now, one thing to remember is we can't heal ourselves. We're not going to be looking at, this is not a self-help program. This is not a do-it-yourself approach. We will not be following a set pattern that guarantees self-actualization or self-healing. Attempting to heal ourselves is actually an attempt to fulfill in the flesh what God has begun in our spirit, which is to conform and transform us into those joint heirs as rulers and reigners in this earth as sons of God. That's his job. And he is jealous over doing it for himself. Spiritually, you're right on track with him. So you are already doing it, but you're not doing it by the strength of your soul. You are changing, being changed by your spirit. Your spirit will do the healing, because within your spirit resides the eternal life of the living God. So in this process, through these teachings, what we will be doing is learning to cooperate with him in the healing process that he has already begun in each one of our lives. Our relationship with God is a personal one. Just as the process of our healing will be a personal one. So start by keeping it between you and God. Don't be looking at this as something to teach others or something, a neat thing you've learned that you take notes on and go on to the next thing. This is just between you and God, but recognize how important he takes this. Because it is a learning process, mistakes and missteps will be made. It is easier to rely on the Lord to encourage and direct you when the two of you are the only ones who know about it. Now, this is not to say you shouldn't share with others what God is doing in your life, but recognize his jealousy and his right to be jealous. And allow him to direct you to the circumstances and situations in which he wants you to share what is going on in your life. This is a private and personal thing he's going to be doing in your life. Guard it and value it. So that's it for tonight. Thanks for tuning in. And we'll be back Thursday night at 6:30. Till then, have a great evening. This has been Diane Thomas of Prepare Radio. Have a great evening.